Before we go into today's episode of the Mile High Show, episode number 31, it is kind of a sports episode, so I wanted to take a few minutes before we start by talking about Kenny the Snake Stabler. The day we were recording this was the day the news broke of the death of Kenny Stabler. He played for a few different teams throughout his career. He was with New Orleans for a little bit. He was with the Houston Oilers for a little bit. But his heyday was with the Oakland Raiders. He will always be in my heart an Oakland Raider. He was a larger-than-life character, a hard partier, a hard player, and just an amazing, amazing player to watch when he was in his prime. Now, one of my mentors growing up, one of my inspirations for my career through, he's a guy I think of every single day, is the late Jim Fashanel. He took me under his wing as a teenage photographer and taught me the ropes, taught me the tricks of the trade. And before that was in the early 80s. But before I met Jim, he was a news photographer throughout the 60s and 70s in the San Francisco Bay Area, and he actually knew Stabler and many of the Raiders from the golden age of Raider football, and he had some amazing stories to tell a young, fledgling, juvenile delinquent photographer like myself. About his time covering the Raiders, both during the season and preseason and training camp and stuff, and they were stories of legends. Now Jim has passed away about 20 or so years ago, but not a day goes by that I don't think of Jim, and I can never pick up a camera without thinking of Jim. So when the news broke of Stabler and hearing accounts of Stabler in his prime and the antics of him, his teammates, Biletnikoff and Casper and Matuzak and all those guys, it really brought up a lot of memories of my childhood and of course my time with Jim Fashanel. I don't know why. It's just a lot of fun and warm memories came up. But if you are a Raider fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Stabler the Snake was and always will be a fine representative of the Raider culture, whether that is good or bad. If you are not a Raider fan, I encourage you to pull a copy of Stabler's book, The Snake. If you're not even a football fan, if you're not a sports fan, pick it up and read that book, The Snake, because it is a great story. Again, whether you like sports or not, it's just a great story. It's filled with great stories. Also, another book chronicling the antics of the Raiders was Tuzak's book, John Matuzak's book, Cruising with the Twos. That was it's just incredible, full of hilarious and interesting stories. So check both of those books out if you can. Again, when we were recording today's episode was the day that the news broke of Kenny the Snake Stabler's death. So he will be missed. He, reflecting on his life and watching these news reports and reading the online reports and stuff is really bringing up some great memories. One of them, for me, it was later. It was a year or so after the Raiders returned back to Oakland from their stint in the 80s in Los Angeles. I had been on the very outskirts doing some work for the Raiders in the way of working for a limo company that a buddy of mine owned. And I got to drive some older players, some former players, and sports card signing gigs and, you know, mall openings and stuff and trade shows and that. I did it a few times. And one of the guys that I met and became a little friendly with was Charlie Smith. He was a very good guy. And I took my nephew, who at the time was, he's grown, has a family of his own now, but at the time, he was, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, something like that. And I took my nephew James to a Raider game, and I bumped into Charlie, and Charlie snuck us up, into the two of us up into the VIP area at the Oakland Coliseum, which was an open bar, open buffet, VIP restaurant up in the suites there, big, big open area. And Charlie took us up, and I introduced him. He signed some stuff for my nephew, if I recall correctly, and we just started sitting up there watching people. I looked over. I said, "Hey, you know, James, that's Jim Plunkett over there." He was sitting there. There was several other old former players. I think Upshaw might have been up there at the time, Gene Upshaw, some local media folks, TV reporters and stuff. So we're pointing out some of these folks. And if I'm not mistaken, I want to say the Men's Warehouse guy, Zimmerman, was up there too. And there was a few, you know, there was people that we knew from TV and from news. And as a joke, I look over and there's a little old man, gray-haired, wrinkly guy sitting in the corner, and as a joke, I told my nephew, I said, "Hey, look, there's Stabler." And then I looked again, and it was Kenny Stabler looking like somebody's grandpa. And this was 20 plus years ago. He did not age well. That hard partying lifestyle took its toll on Kenny Stabler, but he made it to 69. You know what? Now that I'm thinking about that, Stabler at the time was my age. It was 20-some years ago, about 20 years ago. I'm 49. Stabler died at 69. That little old man in the corner was my age. Oh, my goodness. I need to get more sleep. Ay, ay, ay. Oh, well, that is my reflection on Kenny the Snake Stabler. If you are not a football fan, if you are not a Raider fan, it doesn't matter. Kenny Stabler was a legend, and he will be missed. Check out The Snake. You can pick it up where you get books, Amazon or at your local bookstore or at the library, and Cruising with the Twos. You will not be disappointed. Great stories about great athletes that played for a great team. We'll miss you, Kenny the Snake Stabler. Now, listen up to the Mile High Show. Hope you enjoy it.
Gonna tell you a story that you won't believe, but I fell in love last Friday evening with the girl I saw on a ballroom TV screen. But I was just getting ready to get my hat when she caught my eye, and I put it back, and I ordered myself a couple of more shots and beers. The night that I fell in love with a roller derby queen, around and round, all round and round, the meanest uncle woman that anybody ever.
Well, thanks for tuning in. You are listening to the Mile High Show, and this is episode number 31. It was a fun one to record. I sat down with Jackie Hare, Captain Jack of the Whiskey Rollers Women's Roller Derby team based out of Prescott. They've got a home bout at Pioneer Park towards the end of August, but they're out there practicing. They just had a scrimmage recently, and I had a lot of fun talking with Jackie and a couple of the other folks associated with the team, and got to watch them during their practice and a scrimmage, and it's a lot of fun out there. So if you are in the Prescott area, swing on by and check them out for one of their live bouts, or even sit in and enjoy a practice. Any of you businesses out there who are looking for a fun way to promote your business, your cause, your bar, your restaurant, whatever you got out there, Of course, don't forget, the Mile High Show is always looking for sponsorship, but so are the Whiskey Rollers. They are a completely independently funded team, so that means their players, their athletes are the ones that foot the bill for everything, and they travel all through the Southwest, all the way out to Texas, across New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, all through Arizona and even into California, so they could use the support, and you will definitely enjoy your time watching the rollers roll on by. So we're going to get right into that with Jackie, and I hope you enjoy the show. And don't forget to check us out at milehighshow.com, where you will find links to our YouTube channel with some fun video clips, our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram pages, all that good stuff. At milehighshow.com, along with links to all of our past episodes. So check out the library, and in the meantime, sit back and enjoy the Whiskey Rollers on the Mile High Show.
6:15, a peach blonde bomber with a streak of mean. She knew how to knuckle, and she knew how to scuffle and fight. And the road of Derby Graham said that she would build it like a refrigerator with a head. The fans called her Tuffy, but all her buddies called her Spike. You know that I fell in love with a roller derby queen. Around and round, all round and round. The meanest humble woman that anybody ever seen.
Okay, give me the rundown. First off, introduce yourself.
My name's Captain Jack. I've been a member of the Whiskey Rollers for 2 years. I've been playing roller derby for 4 years. Our league is women's flat track. It's a full contact sport. It's a race. It takes a lot of training.
I want to get into some of the aspects of roller derby, but before that, run me through where folks can find out about you guys, where they can see your schedule. I'm not exactly sure when this will pop. It'll be either this Monday or the following. But give me whatever you got of upcoming matches. Matches,
sure.
Am I calling that right? Games, matches?
It's about.
About.
Okay. It's about. We have a website, which is www.northernarizonarollerderby.com, and we have a Facebook page, Northern Arizona Roller Derby, on Facebook.
Now, is that for the Whiskey Rollers, or is that for the league?
Well, our league is Northern Arizona Roller Derby. Okay. The team is the Whiskey Rollers. Last year, we were lucky enough to have enough players to field two teams, so we had the Bootleggers was our B team. But we're the Whiskey Rollers. Our schedule's on Facebook. Our next home game is August 29th.
Home bout.
Yes, it is about on the 29th.
Okay. Now, and this is your home court?
Yes,
home,
this is our home track.
Home rink,
yes,
track?
This is our rink, our track.
You're going to have to correct me the whole time through this because I'm an idiot.
It's okay. The lingo is different for every game. I understand. So we try to have one home game a month. Our season runs from February through November.
Okay.
So it's a long season, and we try to keep people coming back.
And some of the neighboring teams, is there still a team out in Cottonwood?
The Cottonwood team disbanded. It's a very small town. It's hard to keep up the players. There's a league in Flagstaff, Hard. Phoenix has a number of roller derby leagues, but AZRD is our competitors. Tucson has a big roller derby league that we compete with, and we travel. We've gone to New Mexico and Texas and California.
Wow. So
yeah.
You guys get, now, how are you guys supported?
We make our money with our bouts.
With your bouts.
Yes.
So tickets.
Tickets to our games. We sell merchandise. We should be doing a lot more fundraising, but,
okay,
you
now
know.
What about sponsors? What if there's some businesses out there that would like to sponsor
you? We would
you
welcome
guys?
Them with open arms.
Checks?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
We're a nonprofit, so we can take sponsorships and things like that,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so contact you through the website you gave it. I'll put a link
Absolutely.
Up there and also through Facebook.
Yes.
And we'll make sure that gets out there. So let's run me through dumb it down. Give me the idiot version, the Reader's Digest version.
Roller Derby 101.
Exactly. Roller Derby 101 of rules and objectives and that good stuff.
Sure. Each team fields five players at a time. One player on each team wears a star on her helmet. They start behind a line that starts at the straightaway. And then you have four blockers for each team, one of which wears a stripe on her helmet, which makes her a pivot. That designation gives her the ability to become the jammer. If your jammer is getting exhausted or beat up, she can hand that cover with the star to the person with the stripe. So the objective is you get through, the jammers have to get through the blockers the first time just to see who has control over the play. A play in roller derby is called a jam. So if you get out first, you're lead jammer. That means that you can call off the play whenever you want by signaling, hands over your head to your hips. On your next pass through, you get a point for each opposing player that you pass.
So it's kind of a combo. Yeah. I'm really simplifying here. Kind of a combo between a race and a little bit of football.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. We've been equating it to football on wheels. Yes, absolutely.
And
yes.
It's five per team, so at any given time there's 10
yes.
skaters out there. Now,
yes.
I'm going to date myself here. I'm an old man, and I'm looking at the few of you that are suiting up here. My first roller derby bout match game was before I'm sure you guys were born. With the Bay City Bombers out of Oakland and San Francisco. Now, one of my neighbors was JoJo Stafford on the male team
His
wife, Sally. They were the bigwigs way back when. I'm talking late 60s, early 70s.
Awesome.
Not as a kid, watching it on TV on Saturday mornings, they had a practice rink outside
in
the outskirts of my town. So we used to go and watch them practice. And then watch them on TV.
Oh, that's awesome. And
not knowing anything that was going on other than people were flying around, hitting each other. And then we would play it, putting our skates on and going across the street to the high school where the outdoor hallways were really slick concrete. They were rough. So we would just run into each other and
just
have a
wail on each other.
Not knowing what was going on. So that's why I don't know anything about the rules or anything.
It's
definitely
a full contact race where you score points. So, yeah.
Now, I'm trying not to insult you, but it was kind of lumped in with... And I think it was because what was on Saturday mornings.
Pro wrestling.
It was big-time wrestling. Yeah. And this is before WWF. I'm talking way back when it looked like they filmed it in high school cafeterias and stuff. It was way back when, and it was big-time wrestling and then roller derby.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, this is all, it's all fake and it's all, but having now... talked with some wrestlers and watched it evolve, they're thrown around. And if that end of that sport is scripted, these guys are still hardcore athletes. So translate that to what you guys are doing. Not only are you doing full contact, you're going high speed and on the instability of not
wheels,
flat feet. You're on rollers. What kind of training do you do?
Well, it takes a lot of hours. There's a minimum skill set that you have to be able to play. So we're recruiting all the time. We need players desperately. We teach people that have never skated before. It takes a lot of agility. It takes a lot of endurance. A play can last for 2 minutes, up to 2 minutes.
And that's another thing. Is it a clock? Is it a time?
There's two 30-minute halves.
Okay.
And... 2 30-minute halves. A jam can run for up to 2 minutes. The lead jammer can call it off before that, obviously. There are 30-second penalties. it's a big rule book that's been evolving for a long time now. So it's a real sport. We do a lot of hard training. We're out here twice a week. There are lots of leagues that practice three nights a week. Yeah. And, you know.
So you've got five live throughout the bout, what's your full roster? How many do you got on the bench?
You can have up to 14 on the bench for any given game.
Now, are you up to that number now?
No.
So you guys are doing like what would you call in football Ironman? You're doing both sides.
Yeah,
you know,
we're doing
you're out
everything.
There all the time.
Yep. But there's we played with 8 and 9 players. It's hard.
That's tough.
It's really hard. But you know. We love it.
Do
we
what
do
you
it.
Do,
we're
huh?
crazy. Yeah.
All right. Now, run through. We got a couple of your athletes here suiting up. Football, hockey. We just watched these. I was watching these kids out here on hockey, and I'm real familiar with. I worked with the Sun Dogs for a number of years while they were out here. They are completely encased, and they're still getting injured. Football, same thing. Fully encased in pads and polyurethane and everything else, taped up and everything, and they're still getting hurt.
Yeah.
You guys are doing the same kind of contact at higher speeds. Again, the instability of being on wheels.
Contact.
On concrete. On concrete, basically.
Yes. That's concrete. That? Okay. Yep, that's concrete.
Walk me through. What are they...
So,
do they use that squishy paint? No?
There's a list of required equipment. It's
what
helmet. Mouth guard, wrist guards, elbow pads.
Now, let's slow down a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You, on your helmet, this is not a full-face helmet like you would see in football.
There are people that wear visors. Their helmets are changing. There's a whole lot of conversation going on about helmets should look
for
athlete roller derby.
Safety and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. There's been a lot of controversy about the helmets that are out there for us. But we've got helmets, mouth guard for sure, wrists, elbows, knees. You can wear other things. I'm wearing shin guards. I've had a particularly rough season that way. You can wear additional protective equipment. There are girls that wear padded shorts, hard bra,
chest protector,
things like that.
Kind of things,
you know, yeah.
Like, is it almost like a hockey? You know, it should probably.
I've actually I'm interested in seeing what a tortoiseshell bra looks like.
What are some of the common injuries that you that
knees and ankles?
Yeah.
Yeah, knees and ankles.
How about you? What have you in your how many years now?
4 years I've been playing.
Four years playing.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the injuries you've? Have you been?
I was out for 8 months with a knee injury. It was a strain on a tendon. You know, I just had to let it rest, and you know, but we've had. Had surgeries on ankles
I
and knees.
I pulled a muscle watching football once. Reaching for a plate of nachos. I understand. Trust me, I understand the perils of being an athlete.
Yeah. They're definitely common things you run into with your sport.
So what are some of the qualities you look for in a player and the skill set.
Athleticism, for
just
sure.
Just across the board.
Athleticism is great. But you know what? We don't turn people away. I was never an athlete before I found roller derby. I was a theater kid. So for me to come out and learn a team sport was huge, you know. But you've got to have a personal drive to do it. It takes a lot of hours not with the team to get your skating skills to be able to play. So I mean, when I first started, I was out at my rink in Cottonwood I was there every morning for 2 hours before I went to work for months. You know, it takes a lot of that personal motivation to do it.
So just that heart and
yeah, you
got
to have that heart, that drive. It does help to be a little aggressive, not going to lie there. I don't quite have that in me either. There are some players that are just a certain brand of crazy
more,
that we like. Yeah.
Now, how about size? Does size play into the role, or is it more of speed and agility?
There's a lot of factors. We've come up against teams where overall the whole team was bigger than us, and it definitely makes a big difference. But all shapes and sizes are definitely useful on the track. Definitely. We have some of the best jammers that I've ever seen are tiny, tiny women.
Now, traditionally, though, would a jammer be more of somebody trying to keep out? Let me rephrase. Are there positions that lend themselves more to agility and speed as opposed to the aggression?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Jammers definitely need to have agility. You got to be able to get around four people.
Gotcha.
Like running for 2 minutes. You know? So you have to be fast on your feet. You definitely need to be aggressive with your jammer. It's really different people for different roles.
Sorry, I'm not ignoring you. I'm always worried that this thing's not recording, so I keep glancing.
You're not bothering me.
Make sure the buttons are gone. Okay, now you'd mentioned you weren't an athlete growing up, mm-hmm. a theater kid. That brings up next to it. How much, there's a lot of showmanship in roller derby. That's what I do remember as a kid. How much, percentage-wise, what's the showmanship, what's the actual sport, or can you even quantify that?
It comes down to the personalities on each team. We've definitely come against teams that had a little more personality than others. I remember years ago, the team's not the same way, but the Surly Girlies out of Phoenix were pirates, and they used to come to every bout just totally decked out in their pirate gear, and now it's uniforms mostly, you know. But I mean, there are definitely different teams take it to different levels.
And the names, like
yes,
you said.
The names.
Run through some of the names that we have on again, and
sure.
Whiskey Rollers?
The Whiskey Rollers.
From Whiskey Row, is that where you're getting the... Okay.
Uh-huh, absolutely. So our team founder and our coach is Holly Ween. Her number's 1031. I love that. we've got Little Kitty Split. She's one of my favorites. She's a great jammer for our team. Joya Destroya. Let's see. We've got Hot Tea.
That's another one I
Hot
remember from
tea.
The newspaper.
Yes, she's a great blocker. Who else do we have? We have Juana Ashkicken and Cleopatricide. Man, everybody. There's so few of us
what
these
days.
What
are some other names that throughout the league that some of the other athletes you've competed against? Any
oh,
of them
the
stick
names
out?
Are so great. Oh, there's
or
just so many.
Jump on those websites on the phone.
Yes, absolutely.
Listeners can go look
you
at
can
them.
Definitely. All these leagues have, most of them have their rosters listed. The names are just great.
So is it intergender?
Well,
team or
this
what,
is
what
this is
here?
Our ref. This is our
ref.
Head ref, Dysentery. <That's> he's been with us for a while now. We're so happy to have him. There is co-ed roller derby. There's men's roller derby.
That's what I remember from way back in the day. You got a second? Can we pass in the mic real quick? Let's talk the legalities of the rink. What are some of the infractions that you look for? And again, please introduce yourself again.
Well, my name's...
you got to get that way up close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my name's Terry. My league name is Dysentery. took me a long time to think of that name. I am the head ref for the Northern Arizona Roller Derby Whiskey Rollers. Some of the infractions I look for are a lot of the really physical ones. The ones that we used to see on TV back in the 70s.
Well, let me interrupt you. I'm sorry to do this, but it's very physical. What, as an observer, and this is what I'll backtrack to hockey. I was associated with our local hockey team here for quite a while. Observed and covered every single game for them and have no idea what the rules are. this is how I explain it. A bunch of guys skate around. They punch each other, somebody blows a whistle, and then they do it again. That's what I knew.
Yeah.
So what, you know, icing, I have no idea what that was. It's just, it didn't make any sense to me. So for the observer, for the spectator here, when these gals are throwing each other and bashing into each other, is that part of the game?
That is part of the game.
Where does it become, there you go.
Where it becomes an infraction is where it starts becoming egregious or...
using these big words.
Or necessary.
Didn't know I was going to need a thesaurus, man.
Or unnecessary. Trust me, 78 pages of rules. And they're all there to keep the skaters safe. The biggest ones is when it starts to get out of control. Where the while they're skating, they're supposed to keep their arms tucked and things like that. When the elbows start to come up and they start to fly or they start to swing, that's when it becomes unnecessary, and that's when the penalties start to happen.
So when it's not to further the advancement in the game, it's to
hurt somebody, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. And our girls never do that. Our Prescott girls never do that.
Never do that. They're clean group. Whatsoever.
So you're only there to watch the bad guys.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I always look at it this way as well. You know, the only way that I can get a woman to listen to me is by putting on the ref stripes.
And blowing that whistle?
And blowing the whistle.
I need to get one of those whistles for the house. I think that might be good. I think my wife has a louder whistle, though.
Yeah. My wife has a louder whistle as well.
One of those air horns.
But, yeah, when it comes to the game and everything, when it starts to become an issue of safety is when it starts to become really an issue and a penalty. There are some big hits that are legal.
That are allowed.
That are allowed. In line with... Yep, as long as they're within line. And the biggest thing is initiation on who started to move in which direction.
Now, somebody gets called for a penalty. What are some of the penalty... is it a penalty box like in hockey?
There
or?
Is a penalty box. Each team has two spots for two blockers, and then a spot for the jammer. The jammer actually has their own special spot that they have to sit at. So three places out of the five skaters for each team. And then so when they get called for a penalty, they're to exit the track immediately, skate around, sit in the penalty box.
Okay, now how long is it depend on what the infraction was?
No, all penalties are 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. So now you got five skaters out there.
Yep.
One of them gets sent to the penalty box, then they skate short or they does skate somebody short. Doesn't pull
nope,
okay.
They skate short for that 30 seconds. Skater jumps back up, gets right back to work.
Okay, now is there a limit? I mean, is there a spot when you might have three of the five in the penalty box?
What have
you
seen? Absolutely. The funniest thing is because you have the jammer.
Yeah.
So you could have, in essence, no blockers on the track, and the jammer is all by herself on the track. Because the penalties go by 30 seconds, and the last 10 seconds, they stand. If a skater is standing and they're in queue for a penalty, they can go sit down in the penalty box. So you can have two skaters standing, two skaters sitting, and you could even have the jammer sitting as well within that 30 seconds. So you could have no skaters from one team on the track.
And then is that a spot for the other team to then
score
team, cleanly?
Oh, cleanly, just yeah.
Now, is there... This is a really stupid question, I guess, and it could be for either of you. Is there an offense and a defense, or is it constantly on the offense? You're constantly trying to score,
kind of like basketball, where it's offense and defense at the same time. Because when your jammer's not in the track, not in what they call the pack,
I understand.
Which is the blockers all together. They call that the pack. So when your jammer's not in there, which means they're skating around to come back around. You're playing offense because you want to stop the other jammer from getting through.
So it's not like football where there's a set things that have to happen when you are on defense and you can't score or it's harder to.
Yeah, no. It's
kind of a back and forth,
like
you said,
basketball. Yeah,
gotcha.
Where you have five players on the court at one time, you know, and you're constantly back and forth.
Okay, so now we've got a combo of hockey, football, track,
basketball
boxing. It's a little bit of everything.
I wouldn't say so much boxing, but yeah.
Get that in nice and clear.
I wouldn't say so much boxing, but yeah, it definitely all the way around.
Now, do the Whiskey Rollers have a like an official mascot or a designated logo other than what's on your jersey there?
No, we don't have a mascot.
No. So there we go. We've got a perfect opening for one of our local businesses to step up, get some financial backing behind you gals,
there we go,
and get their mascot out there. So
yeah, absolutely.
I'm thinking, big whiskey barrel. Or
we
just
could have like the barrel man. Denver used to have a barrel man.
Just a town drunk. We can do that. Yeah, I know a guy. He actually might be here. he texted me and said he might be coming. Not here yet, so we can make fun of a Matt Henshaw of the Daily Courier. The town drunk could be the whiskey roller.
There it is.
The whiskey.
Put him in a barrel, roll him around the track a couple times.
I don't even think we'd have to fit him up with an outfit. I'm pretty sure he's got a barrel in his garage. Yeah, he's not here yet, so I can make fun of him.
Yeah.
He's been out also for, he's a good buddy of mine, for some of the media stories. He's done some videos and some stills of you guys in other incarnations over the years. But
let you know that we have a game coming up this Saturday?
Yeah. We're recording this on a Thursday. I think this will be posted up probably next, either Monday or the following. So we hit up your next home one league, which is
29th.
We're not going to hear you on that. You got to get it nice and close. The 29th.
The 29th.
There you go. Now let's just. Do you got to get back out there? Do you, okay. Let's talk a little bit more. If we can go ahead and slide her the mic. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it.
Terry.
I'm sorry.
Dysentery.
Dysentery. Yeah.
I don't know where I got Larry from. But. Thanks, Terry. A little bit more of the because it without question. You guys are athletes. It's needed for your safety and just to complete the task at hand. But again, how much is the show involved? Is there any theatrics during the bouts, or
no.
Are you can't even concentrate? You just got to concentrate on what's going
You're
on.
You're out there to play your best game. Any showmanship that comes out of it is just the personalities that clash. You know,
like spiking the ball in football, that
yeah,
celebration.
Yeah, you
kind
see
of stuff.
Some kind of stuff like that that kind of gets people a little amped up, and then you might get some, you know, some fireworks that yeah. way. But no, absolutely, everybody's out there to play.
Now, do you have any hard core deep-seated rivalries throughout the leagues, or is it pretty much every bout is
I'm still learning our rivalries because gotcha. I'm pretty new with the team, but Joya, who are our big rivals? Who have we had
who are big rivals?
Uh-huh.
Flagstaff
for sure.
From the proximity cuz they're closer
well,
by.
Well, they're a newer league. We're a small league. Yes.
We used
yeah.
to beat them, and
yes.
now we don't.
They're a newer league. It's a college town, so they've got a few more people than we do. So.
To pull from, so they've
yeah.
got a larger pool to, yeah. of talent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As far as requirements for players, for athletes that are interested in seeking you out and maybe testing the waters, you mentioned some of the physical requirements as far as agility and, of course, the desire and heart needed to play. How about age?
18
and older. And yeah. then also to look at it realistically, this you guys are investing your own
yes.
resources
uh-huh.
to make sure.
Absolutely. Yes, there's a lot of, I mean, we spend our own money to go and travel for these games. In the past, we've had some help here and there if we have a big thing to go for, but you know, it's all on
yeah.
you. You really have to want to do it.
So that again,
yeah,
really reinforces.
It's definitely an investment.
Well, it also reinforces the real desire to compete.
Mm-hmm, absolutely,
it's not you guys aren't out here to make a living at this.
No.
So it's something you really really have to have that desire to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's looking to, like I say, test the waters and maybe get a feel for it, they really got to take that in consideration.
Absolutely.
It's a big commitment.
It is a commitment.
Yeah. And what is day job for you, Jackie?
I work with artists. I'm an artist assistant.
Oh, nice.
So I work for a few different people in Sedona. And
What a difference, though, in just the culture, the art culture in Sedona
mm-hmm.
as opposed to roller derby
yeah,
in Whiskey Row.
Definitely. And it's funny because all of our day jobs are, I mean, I've met more teachers and nurses in roller derby than anything else.
Talk about that a little bit. Do you think that's... you think it's a release for folks to come
Absolutely.
Out and get that
Absolutely
adrenaline?
Absolutely it is. I mean, when I found roller derby, it just helped me in so many ways. It was just such a...
In what ways? Let's talk
oh,
about that
Oh, my
bit.
Gosh. I mean, I was just, I moved here from New Jersey years ago, and I was kind of aimless and didn't know what to do with myself, and I found roller derby, and it gave me a community and a family, and I can't tell people enough what that is. The roller derby community, it's a worldwide thing. Everybody,
yeah.
everybody I've met, it's a big family, it's a big community.
Now, I was surprised, like I said, years back, and it's longer than I'd like to admit, but in the late 60s, early 70s, when I thought it was something new. As a
mm-hmm.
little kid, it's like, wow, this is amazing, it's something. I looked, and while I was sitting here, I kind of went through and was pulling up some of the
uh-huh.
old names I remembered. And the roots and history of roller derby
go
long way, way,
mm-hmm.
way back.
It's like the 30s or 40s, yeah. It was the transcontinental roller derby.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's different, and I don't know if this is something you can talk to or not, but this is flat track.
Yes.
What's the other, what are some
Bank
other
Bank track is the slant track that
okay.
everybody's used to seeing.
And that's what I remember.
That's what everybody remembers is the bank track. And that's what the roller derby started off as. It was the transcontinental roller derby. It was a race. It was basically a distance race. They were traveling the distance of a cross-country race on the track. So what would happen, original roller derby, it was they would send out five people at a time to race. So it would be five women or five men. So it was co-ed, but one team at a time, and they would race a certain distance, and then a new team would come on and go the next distance. Well, they started to realize that people were enjoying it more when people were wiping each other out. So it evolved, and they started changing the rules to encourage those sorts of interactions on the track. So it developed from...
More physicality.
Yeah, it developed from a team race into what it is now. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been a long time.
Now, would you have been satisfied with the older version of the speed in the race?
Probably
you...
not. I like going fast, and you know, I can pump out some laps, but...
you like the physicality of it?
It's a lot.
Get a
it's
little
a rush,
adrenaline going.
For sure. It is a rush.
And I don't think we mentioned this before. What is your position? What do you...
I'm a jammer and a blocker.
is there a lot of cross...
Everybody kind of, there are people that are comfortable doing both. Like, I don't consider myself a great jammer, you know. I go in there and I can do it, but I'm usually the one that gets out second and, you know, stuff like that. But there are definitely people that only jam. There are definitely people that only block. There are people that play both.
Smaller squad like you guys have, though, it's...
Everybody
really
kind of plays.
Yeah, you gotta...
Everybody has to be able to jam, because you never know. We have, we're like, oh, I think we have two jammers today. Everybody's jamming. Yeah, it's... everybody has to be able to play everything. And you try to play your pivot so that she can be a jammer, you know. So the people that can jam, you try to put them in that position. Stuff like that.
Give us a little 30, 60, 90 second commercial for your team and the league and the sport in general. Why should folks come out here and watch you in your bouts and support you as a community team?
I think roller derby is very empowering for women. I think it's really empowering I see children when they come out and see it, and they just think it's amazing. You know, little girls think it's awesome. We try to foster a community here, and I think it would be great for more people to see it and know it. The sport of it is growing so fast. I think everybody should watch it.
Yeah.
It's at that stage right now where a lot of things are happening. It was in contention for the Olympics.
Really?
Yeah, they were considering it for the Olympics. It wasn't ready for it. Don't worry about it. But, you know, it's a fast-growing community, and it's a developing sport, and I think if everybody comes out and falls in love with it now, then it can grow and grow and grow.
Are you getting some folks coming out and watching you on your home bouts?
We get pretty good turnout most of the time. Certain times of the year are better than others, obviously, you know. So, you know, we play outside all year round.
Now, you see,
it's cold.
The season starts in February?
February to November.
How do you guys out here in February and March?
A lot of times we try to schedule our away games for times like that,
maybe?
You know. Yeah,
gotcha.
And when we do hold games here, we'll try to hold them during the day so that it's sunny and warm and things like that. So, you know, it's scheduling and planning.
Mainly outdoors, or are there some indoor?
There are lots of indoor venues, absolutely.
Are we, I'm throwing myself.
It's your hometown. You can say we. Absolutely.
Are we unique in being an outdoor?
There are other leagues that have outdoor facilities. I think in the state, we're probably the only one. Flagstaff plays at Mount Eldon Middle School in Flagstaff. Phoenix has a facility that they rent for games. So I think we're inside most of the time. Everybody loves it when they come here. All the Phoenix people and Tucson people love coming here in the summertime.
Yeah.
It's so nice to play outside.
A little cooler. Now, the scrimmage that's going to be before this comes out is a 7 o'clock at night. Is that during the summer? Do you try and do them in the evenings?
We try to do them in the evenings. It's easier for people to get here. It's a little cooler. It's, you know, we have to be out here setting up the track before the game happens, too. And that takes a few hours, and, it's not something you want to be doing in the midday sun.
Yeah. Now, what's the cost for folks to come in and watch you on your home bouts?
We charge $5 admission. This scrimmage this weekend we're doing for donations, but when we have a full on bout, it's $5. Children 12 and under free.
If
you bring your own chair, you can sit trackside,
cool.
And you can get skaters in your lap. So.
a whole new aspect.
You bring
to
a
the
cooler
sport.
And a chair. You're set.
Okay, and that brings it. Are there any concession stands here, or do you have?
We have had concession stands in the past. It's kind of hit or miss. It's whether we have the volunteers to run a concession stand.
So then we've got another sponsorship opportunity of somebody with a licensed
there are
food
so
truck
many
would like to come in.
Opportunities to help our little league grow. Yes.
Well, it looks like we've got a pretty good sized team. How many do we got out there now?
There's two, four, six skaters and two refs. And
Orange is a ref here, the female.
No,
ref?
No, she's our. That's Holly Ween. She's our team.
Oh, okay.
She's our founder and our coach.
Who's the other ref? Oh, here. The other guy.
The other guy. Yeah, we do have. I think we have four referees right now, and we have nine people on our actual team roster right now. So it's we're looking for people running and gun.
Offense, defense, basically on.
It's constantly, it's switching constantly. It depends on whether your jammer is in that group or
but
not.
But you guys are with only nine and an active on rank of five. You're basically on you're on skates.
You're on skates
the entire time.
Pretty much, yeah.
60 minutes? Is that 230 minutes?
230 minutes, yeah. So it's an hour game. Yep.
My goodness.
There are different strategies to play that. Like, we'll send a wall out. That's what we call our blockers. They go out as a wall. And maybe they'll play two or three jams in a row and then sit. You know, stuff like that. So we're used to being a small team. We know how to play it.
So all the more reason to get some more folks out
here. Yes, absolutely.
So if anybody out there is thinking inline and ice hockey just isn't rough enough for you, and you need a little extra incentive.
That is a great angle.
Come on out to come on out and talk to Jackie about joining the Whiskey Rollers. Anything else you want to hit?
Oh no, that's great. That's awesome.
Good. I'm gonna get.